Yo, yo, what's up? Harry Santos here, and we just rebranded our pod. I've been an advocate of crypto for about a decade now, so join me and some friends I've met along the way as we discuss and learn more about the space. Fasten your seatbelts, it's time to go block to the future. Okay, welcome back, guys. Here we go again. We have another OG guest, no? Excited na ba kayo? Kasi I hope you like the previous episodes. But now we're gonna be talking about Bitcoin, Lightning, and how it can change remittance payments, no? We have a very esteemed guest. Yeah, no? We have Ramon Tayag, who I actually met back in 2014, one of the first Bitcoin meetups that I attended. You know, in the room, in that meetup, you know, you had like Ron Hose, founder of CoinsPH, who was also formerly in this podcast, and other OGs who helped build startups in the space, no? So imagine as early as then palang he was organizing meetups na. And up to now, he's still organizing Bitcoin meetups. So here we go, a Bitcoin enthusiast, software developer. We welcome Ramon Tayag. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me. Yeah, man, that's 9 years ago. And in Bitcoin terms, that's really long.
Yun nga eh. So siguro we can start with how you got into Bitcoin, man. You know, imagine even in 2014, you were setting up meetups already. How did you get into this, into the rabbit hole? Maybe we can start with that.
Yeah, well, you know, being in software and tech, I read a lot of these tech community boards. So I heard about Bitcoin in Hacker News as early as 2011, really. But like most people, I ignored it.
Damn.
Right? Like, I think most people really need multiple touch points. And that was me as well. So I ignored it for a while, like for a year. And then, you know, when I decided to buy a little, because I'm super conservative, right? I never really got into investing in stocks and stuff. And so when I decided to buy a little, I decided to buy like what I'd spend for dinner. And this is from somebody who's very conservative, right? So I spent very little. Of course, I wish I'd bought more. It's a typical story, right? But despite being early, I wouldn't say I got it like till later on. Till I started asking like, what is money? And not just that, like also, how is it created today, right? I mean, I remember when in that meetup, maybe you brought the cake. I think it said separation of money and state.
Yes, that was us. That was us.
Yeah. Like, I didn't get that. I mean, you know, like I knew what you were saying, but I didn't get why it was important then, right? I mean, I started listening to what people were saying about separation of money and state, but I wasn't buying it yet. So it took me a while.
Solid. So I want to talk about Lightning kasi in this episode. Given that, you know, since 2014, we've been witnessing a lot of startups, a lot of founders trying to go for the remittance market. Syempre, it's billions of dollars worth in the Philippines. We have so many family and friends abroad bringing money into the Philippines. And a lot of this money goes to third-party middlemen. So it has always been an obvious use case. How is it that, you know, so many founders have tried to go for this and wala pang nangyari? And what is the difference now? Why do you think Lightning Network changes that?
Yeah, I think Lightning Network really makes Bitcoin like the internet of money. It really starts to feel that way when you use Lightning. And that's because Lightning is a payments technology. You know, one issue, for example, with using Bitcoin without Lightning, such as the base chain, is that when you send a payment, you can actually send the wrong one to the address. And like refunding that, and by wrong one, I mean the wrong amount, right? And it was such a pain to refund that because you'd have to get other people who had access to the wallets involved. And it was a nightmare for payments. Like, even if you disregard the 10-minute block time, right? So even if that was instant, sending the wrong amount for me was worse of an issue.
Right.
With Lightning, that's not possible because it's like built in. You cannot send the wrong amount. And when you send, like, it's, well, It's also instant.
Could you clarify why you can't send the wrong amount?
Because it's part of the invoice.
Got it.
That you send. So with Lightning, it's like when you pay somebody, that someone had to have said, like, okay, this is what I'm charging you.
Got it.
This is a basic. I mean, of course, there are other ways you can generate Lightning invoices where you could just say, hey, send me any amount you want, pretty much. But hey, if you're building like a web store or a remittance service and you need an exact amount because you're making a promise, like, hey, if you send me 1,000,000 sats, it's equal to whatever, 50,000 pesos for the next 2 minutes, I'm promising this rate, then you want the exact amount, right? Because you're relying on the fact that when you get it, you're going to probably like sell 50,000, 1,000,000 sats somewhere so that you're not exposed to the volatility, right? With Bloom, we started using Bitcoin for remittances, like, I don't know, maybe 2016 or so. And, you know, one question that I discussed with Israel was like, you know, if Bitcoin does become successful, how would it look like, right? And we both came to the conclusion that it would, well, make our business, I guess, useless, right? Because the way Bloom would do remittances is that Bloom would find a partner in another country who knew about Bitcoin,
right,
and then sign a contract or whatever, like come up with an agreement. That partner would find Filipinos who wanted to send money back home, and then they'd send us Bitcoin in bulk because Lightning didn't exist then. It was probably just a white paper or an idea in someone's mind. So they would send, let's say, 500,000, 1,000,000 pesos worth in Bitcoin. We'd like turn that into pesos. And then they would start sending instructions and we just deduct the peso balance. That's like a prepaid account, right? But it's not scalable because you have to find a partner in every country. If they go bust, like, or they decide not to continue with the business anymore, then you lose that source. If there's a crackdown in that country with crypto, then you lose the source also. So then every partner, you have to come up with an agreement and sign, and then they have to market. So it felt a lot less like a network, right, really, and more like a business arrangement. But Bitcoin with Lightning starts to look quite different. And I'm happy to riff on that now if you want.
Sure, sure. So, you know, we talked about the benefit na it's really like a network. Siguro the next question will be, what is Lightning ba?
Okay.
You know, to our listeners who just know Bitcoin and have no idea what the Lightning network is, what is it and why is it needed and what does it do?
Okay, so I like analogies, as you probably have seen. And this one, you know, it's not completely my idea, but I think it's super useful. Like, think of Lightning as a magical abacus. You have like these beads on a string, and then you can like slide them from one end to another. So a Lightning channel is like, let's say, you know, we open a channel between us, so you and me, and let's say we put in, just to make it easy, and so we have round numbers, right? And I'm not talking about decimal points here. Let's just say we put 50 Bitcoin in it. You put 25, I put 25. So it's like this magical abacus appears in cyberspace between us where there's 25 of these little beads on my side and then 25 on your side. And whenever I want to pay you, I could just like flick one over and it's instant. It happens instantly. And whenever that happens, it's like those beads, they represent like a Bitcoin, right? But once we create this magical abacus, we're not writing anymore into the Bitcoin blockchain. And so we have this magical abacus. We can make payments to one another. I buy coffee from you. You buy services from me. Great. But it's kind of useless if it's just the two of us, right? But you can create another magical abacus connection with someone else. And I can flick some to you. And then you can flick some to them. And essentially, you're making a payment on my behalf. But it can be done in a way, again, it's magic, right? It could be done in a way where I pay you, you have to pay them. It's not like I could pay you and then you just say, thanks for the Bitcoin. It's mine now. And then you go offline. It doesn't work that way. And that's when it's a network, when multiple people are connected to each other. And then, you know, we could start sending payments all over. And at the early days of Lightning, it was hard to get stuff through. Like these connections, they were down a lot. Like people have learned a lot. And in the recent Bitcoin retreat conference in Boracay, I was paying with Lightning.
Right.
And not using the pouch wallet. I was using other wallets. I was trying out my own node. I was trying out Wallet of Satoshi and Phoenix. It worked really well.
Yeah, I think just to add to that, you know, that's the amazing part is the interoperability with other wallets. Because I think, you know, we have Pouch here. There are others out there. But what's interesting is Cash App actually supports Lightning, right? So imagine anyone with Cash App, millions of users in the States, can actually send money instantly here. And I think the general idea is Bitcoin is slow. It has high fees. Diba? And I guess that's what Lightning changes. Diba? If it's with Lightning, it's instant and low fees, no?
That's right. Right. It's instant and low. I mean, you know, I guess this is the technical side coming out already where, you know, I want to make sure that we're getting the concepts right here. It's generally lower because, right, the way fees work in Lightning is like it's typically a percentage of the amount being sent around, right? Unlike with Bitcoin base chain, you can send $2 billion worth of Bitcoin and pay, I don't know, 50 cents in fees or whatever the fees are on the blockchain. But with Lightning, it's like a percentage of what you're sending. So if I wouldn't send $2 billion worth over Lightning, even if I had that liquidity, because the fees would be higher.
Right. So given that trend, no, I remember I've asked you this. I've heard of criticism na, like with Pouch, diba? It's really a custodial service. You know, the purists want non-custodial, diba? There are a lot of purists there. What do you say to that? Na actually, it's, you know, you could actually use for bigger amounts, or you can make it. You could still make it on chain. So what do you say to people na who say, oh, wala pang non-custodial service yan? So there is a level of trust, diba?
Yeah, that's right. There is a level of trust with the likes of Pouch. But, you know, I want to backtrack a bit and let's talk about what Pouch is, because we've mentioned that.
Sure.
But maybe people don't know about it yet, right? So Pouch is a, you know what they are? They're actually a peso wallet with Lightning rails on it. So they're connected to the Lightning network. Your balance is in pesos. You can receive payments and it's done over the Lightning network and it's converted to pesos the moment you get it. And then when you send payments out, they convert your pesos to Bitcoin.
Oh, wow.
Right?
So no volatility, no?
That's right. There's no volatility. And if you, like earlier, we talked about that invoice, that promise, like they say, okay, when you create a payment request, they say, okay, we're good with this. We promise you this rate for like 30 seconds or something like that. So that means when they receive that Bitcoin, they will convert it to pesos at the rate they promised. And another thing we didn't talk about is Lightning invoices themselves can expire. So if that payment wasn't made in 30 seconds, then that invoice itself will expire. If someone tries to scan that QR code later after 30 seconds, it'll say the invoice expired, right? Unlike the base chains, just, you know, we gave you 30 seconds only. So Lightning changes that as well. But anyway, so Pouch is a peso wallet with Lightning in and out. So you can send and receive payments via Lightning. And what that means then is that any wallet, whether that's a custodial, so someone else has custody of that Bitcoin for you, like Wallet of Satoshi, or a self-custodial one like Phoenix, where really you have custody of the Bitcoin, or a pouch-like wallet like Strike, or you mentioned Cash App, where there's a dollar balance, but they also have Lightning in and out. Any of those can talk to one another now, right, with Lightning.
That's crazy, man. It's really mind-blowing how the potential of what can happen in the future, no? Like maybe GCash can support this, diba? They could have a Lightning rail, right? That's so exactly exciting. Now, man, I have this other criticism that I always hear. Why would, diba, ako, I went to Boracay, I got a haircut using Bitcoin, man. I was buying, you know, Piatos and Coca-Cola from sari-sari stores using Bitcoin.
Yeah.
Used to be unheard of because of the high fees and because it was low. Now people were telling me, why would you spend with Bitcoin? That makes no sense because you're one, you can just hold it and it will go up. So it makes no sense for you to spend it. Number two, why would people do that? It's so volatile. But at the moment, good thing you mentioned pouch changes that, pero what if I send light Bitcoin to someone, pagdating sa kanya, nag-crash na yung market. So, yan yung mga criticism na rinig ko. One is, yun nga, why would you do that? Sayang, it could go up. And number two, why would you do that? Baka biglang bumagsak, kawawa yung receiver.
Right. No, those are very valid. And I think for a lot of people, it's still an issue. In fact, like, I think it was 2015, when the SEI guys, they had a BitMarket and that allowed businesses to accept Bitcoin, right? So I once paid for probably the most expensive dinner in my life in
Me
today's
too, man.
Bitcoin terms.
Yeah. Our own Bitcoin pizza day. We all had that back then.
Yeah. So I spent some Bitcoin for a Thai dinner. And, you know, I came to the conclusion that that business wasn't going to work out, at least then. But now I'm starting to see that the winds are shifting. And I think that people will spend Bitcoin if it is either most of their net worth already or if they earn in it. Because you're right. Like, why? If I bought Bitcoin yesterday with the pesos I earned, because I know that the pesos I earned are guaranteed to lose purchasing power, why would I spend my Bitcoin? Right? There are a few reasons I can, you know, I could tell you why, but really most people aren't going to spend it. So services like Pouch help that. But really, like, I don't think that most people are going to be spending Bitcoin like in their local economies until they start earning on it. But that is an opportunity, right? Like, there are like a lot of Filipinos, especially with COVID, have found themselves working completely remotely. And I don't see why they couldn't get work from abroad that pays better. And how can they get paid? Bitcoin is one way. Sure.
You know, another exciting thing about Pouch is, you know, I should have them on. No, I'll invite them. When I asked the barber who was cutting my hair and I paid in Bitcoin, I said, oh, how do you trust this system? What can you do with it? And he just said, oh, I can buy load with it, the load credits. And to them, that's value. You know, that's a currency. That's a local currency already because you can use it for texting and calling. So to them, I don't care if it's Lightning Network or whatever it is. If I can buy load with it, then game, right? So I think that's what Pouch changes, Ren, is wala na yung volatility. And of course, tayo, we're avid fans. That's why we spend on it. So very exciting stuff, no?
Yeah. I want to change what I said a little bit. I want to add something, actually. When you're, especially like here in the Philippines, you make pesos, you spend pesos here. It doesn't make sense to spend Bitcoin. But, you know, I went to the States recently and I was buying like gift cards using BitRefill, right? Pay in Lightning. I was looking at the rates. Like, if I were to sell this Bitcoin and turn it into pesos and instead use my credit card, for example, to buy in Walmart, like, would I spend, what would be cheaper for me to just spend that Bitcoin? Even if I like spend the Bitcoin and buy immediately, like spend and replace, right? And a super easy way to spend and replace is Pouch, right? You load it with pesos. You essentially send it over the Lightning Network to BitRefill to buy a Walmart gift card. The rates look better than my credit card, for sure.
Man, I experienced that too. And I think aside from rates, it's also the convenience. I went to Vietnam and there's a Bitcoin ATM there. It wasn't even Lightning. It was just way more convenient than lining up in a money changer because the dong yung currency nila is so confusing. Yeah. So imagine my plan was to not bring a lot of money just to prove the point that it can happen with Bitcoin. So I went there. It was actually more convenient, diba?
Yeah.
So that's an exciting part. So yun, we're almost at the tail end of this, but definitely I would love to have you on again. So ano pang nakikita mong application? So now I think we're just at the beginning. We're at the very beginning, right? And yeah. We're seeing Pouch. We see potential in remittance and payments. What is your outlook on how Lightning will change not just the Philippines, but globally, how it can change the way we pay and send money?
Yeah. You know, I see Lightning, and I remember we discussed this before, but I see Lightning like voice over IP. You know how, you know, I guess some of us remember where we had to make long distance calls and talk to families abroad. And of course, we'd like list everything we wanted to say already because we were charged per minute, I guess, right? And it was very expensive. But when the internet came along and the speeds got better, it took a while. Like, it wasn't instant. It might seem instant in our minds, but it took a while for it to get there. And Skype came along. Like, it made less and less sense to use these long distance phone or long distance companies, phone companies, to call loved ones abroad and instead just go over VoIP. But both sides needed it, right? Your loved ones abroad needed the internet connection and the local, and you needed one as well. Lightning reminds me a lot of that, where for as long as like you're connected to the Lightning Network, you can talk to anyone else. You can talk the language of money with anybody else on the network, but both sides need to get on board. And the thing is, I guess, like VoIP as well, companies themselves could leverage the technology so that they might, let's say a local company says, yeah, you know, use my service to call your loved ones abroad. I'll charge you less than the normal long distance companies. But underneath, they're just using VoIP, right? To cross the continent, maybe. And perhaps on the other side, they also use VoIP, but interface with a local landline. That's Pouch. That's Strike. That's Cash App, right? But once you or once your loved one has VoIP and you have VoIP, it's pretty much a peer-to-peer thing. And again, that's Lightning too. So I think Lightning will obviate the word remittances in the future. It's things like Lightning that'll make a payment just a payment. Like the way we make calls today, it's not long distance anymore. It's just a call over WhatsApp or just a call over the internet. And it's going to be the same with Lightning.
That's it. So you heard it here first, guys. This is like, I feel like it's a historic episode that in the future we will look back on and we will say Ramon said it years ago, man. So guys, don't forget, one day your kids and your grandkids will make fun of you for using the word remittance. That's going to be forgotten. It's all going to be via Lightning and it's all going to be instant. Thank you so much, Ramon. I'm sure we're going to have a lot more episodes with you. Always enlightening to talk to you. Thanks for coming. And guys, see you in the next episodes. We have more in store for you and lots more of OG guests. Thanks again, Ramon.
All right. Thank you.
That concludes another episode. Hope it was as insightful for you as it was for me. We have lots of exciting guests and topics coming up, so be sure to follow me on Twitter at Harry Initiative. Be updated on the next episodes and see you on our next trip here on Block to the Future.